Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Just the first two verses of Romans chapter 12. Today we get to think about this topic of whole life disciples. That is the title of this message, whole life disciples. And we are in Romans chapter 12, first two chapters. Very well-known verses. Here is the word of the Lord. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We celebrate the accomplishments of our children and our friends who have accomplished great things as they are growing in their knowledge, physically, in their bodies, emotionally, spiritually. We pray that they are growing and will continue to grow far beyond this past accomplishment, that their best days would be still ahead of them. And Lord, we pray for us as well, us adults, those who have not graduated from anything, but those who call you our Lord and Savior and on a path of discipleship, of following Christ, of learning from our Savior. Help us to be growing also. And help us as a church to create an environment, create a place, a space here as the body of Christ to nurture growth in others, in one another, and as a body of Christ. I pray for the gift of growth for our church in every way. And we pray that you'd help us to ground the growth that we are praying for and wish to receive from you on the Word of God as we want to be whole life disciples, following you with everything that we have and everything that we are. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of everyone's heart this morning be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Question this morning for you is, are you growing as a disciple of Christ? Are you growing, and I heard an amen, but are you growing as a disciple of Christ? I shared this with the church a couple of weeks ago at our church picnic, but I instructed everyone at the picnic to pick a blade of grass from the ground and then, you know, to listen to the blade declaring God's glory as God's creation does. And in our house, coming into the spring, Lois and I took a look at our front yard. Anyone do that occasionally? And we looked at our front yard, and it was clear that something had to be done, particularly our front yard. I remember a day last summer when it was rainy and muddy, and somehow Joshua, our son, and his neighborhood buddies were playing baseball slash tackle football in our front yard. And I just remember it just looking like, you know, a mud, you know, a mud bath that they had come out of. And then I think because of that, this is what our yard looked like, okay, going into the spring. And I'm not a handyman at all. I don't even do stuff like this normally. But I said something has to be done. So I wandered into Home Depot, which I never do, and I found this product, Scott's Easy Seed, Sun and Shade. Grows anywhere guaranteed. And if you notice, there's a lot of shade in our front yard. So I was like, this product is speaking to me. So I bought this pretty expensive product. And I just, about a month ago, just sprayed it on my front yard. And as of yesterday, this is what our front yard looks like. Yeah? Not bad? Not bad? Yeah, give me a hand, please. yeah, not bad. You know, there was another angle of a month ago, all these patches. And yeah, it looks pretty good, right? So the reason I'm sharing this is growth is on my mind. I remember scattering the seeds, and you know how it is, right? I mean, I'm new at this, so I took a look the next day. Nothing was growing, right? So I should water it. I knew it wasn't going to grow overnight, because that's not how growth works, right? So every day I would water. I would chase the squirrels. We have a squirrel problem. They live in our truck. Some of you know. You've seen the video on Instagram. They actually live in our truck. But they were all over the yard after the seed was. You know, I guess that's what happens. I had to chase them off. I had to, you know, shoot little BB guns at them, you know, and get them off our yard. And I had to water it and water it. And then, you know, weeks went by. I was like, when is it going to grow? Finally, after maybe 2 or 3 weeks, I saw a blade of grass. And the heavens declared the glory of God. Amen. The growth came because I kept watering. I kept tending. And I waited, and the growth happened. And this is how growth, I think, happens in our lives, too. You know, even as we just witnessed our children, many of our children, graduating and achieving these huge milestones. And I still can't believe that my daughter's actually in youth group listening to me right now. On a day-to-day basis, when we look at our children at home, do we see them growing? You know, growing in size? Of course we don't. They look the same every day. But when we think about achievements like this and celebrate it together, we see that they have grown. They are growing, and not just in achievement, but in knowledge of God and in knowledge of the world and themselves. And it is a fact that living healthy things grow. Now, not necessarily consistently, not necessarily visibly all times, but as a general rule, living healthy things grow. So, let me ask again, are you growing as a disciple of Christ? As you think about that question, and I ask you to really think about that question, let me take you back to our family's very first official Sunday at RCC, which was back on Sunday, February 2nd of 2020, about a month and a half before the pandemic. That was Pastor Lewis's first day as the children's ministry director at the time at this church. And yes, I followed my wife to RCC, and I am proud to say so. That Sunday also happened to be RCC's annual congregational meeting that you have every year. And we were sitting there, and we saw, you know, the story of the year that previous to that of 2019. And then that congregational meeting was when I actually heard the story of the 10-year diagnostic. Remember that, the 10-year diagnostic of this guy? And that's my first Sunday here, I was able to see this. And this is the story that I heard behind this 10-year diagnostic, as I remember it. It said, as RCC was approaching the 10-year anniversary, 2010 to 2020, and with the realization that the church could no longer be called a church plant anymore, the elders felt a general sense of discontent over the spiritual condition and direction of the church. And the question that prompted a revisioning process was this one: are people growing at RCC? Are people growing at RCC? Now, I didn't check that story with any of the elders here. That's just what I heard that day. So, and then as the elders thought and deliberated over that question, entering into the first decade of this church, a plan was born to revamp RCC's overall approach to discipleship, which would become the crux of a 3-year strategic process of revisioning our approach to discipleship. And the result, 3 years later, we passed this out a couple of weeks ago. There are also sheets in the back for you to take again if you need reinforcement. It is RCC's discipleship model for whole life discipleship. Fast forward 3 years, and this is what we introduced to our church. This is our church's best attempt to truly foster a healthy growth in our church for the next decade. And our desire for the next few months and for the rest of this year and beyond for the second decade of RCC is to implement different portions of this model into the life of our church in fulfillment of the 2022 vision, especially the latter half where we said we also hope to realign with the trajectory of RCC's original vision as we implement our discipleship model into the life of the church. And you know, I know this discipleship model was a long time coming, and maybe it's not that very catchy or flashy in your eyes after 3 years of working on it. But you know what? Neither is growth. Amen? Growth takes time. It's not flashy or, you know, it's not sparkly. It's growth as we continue consistently put in the effort to cause the growth, to water the seed and to tend to our garden. That's when growth happens. I also believe this model actually fits perfectly with the particular makeup and personality of our church, which leads me to another question this morning for our church. What can RCC do better than any other church in the world, is the question. What can RCC do better than any other church in the world, is the question. Let me leave that question hanging and go on for now. As the first sermon introducing our discipleship model to the church, I thought more than going through the details of that sheet in front of you, this is why we had it printed, so you could take it home and try to absorb it. There was also a description document that was emailed out to everyone in our church. I wanted to spend this time grounding this concept of whole life discipleship in the Word of God. And of course, you can imagine myriad of Bible passages we could go over this morning, but I thought Romans 12, 1 through 2 captured the concept well. So from Romans 12, 1 through 2, three words to describe whole life disciples. Number one is family, family. If you look at verse 1 again, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy. And of course, you look at the word therefore in the Bible and you ask the question, what is it therefore? What is that therefore? Therefore, it's because it's pointing to Romans 1 through 11, is it not? Romans 1 through 11. Romans 1, 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The synopsis and summary of the great book of Romans here in these two verses. Then let's go down the entire Romans road. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Probably a summary verse of the gospel like no other verse in the Bible. And then the great verses of our liberation in Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And then, of course, Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Down to Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. So the first word, I believe, to describe whole life disciples from this passage is family, the household of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, members of God's family, Christian, those who understand God's mercy, those who are justified by faith in Jesus. And it is we who understand God's mercy, we who have been adopted into the household of God. It's all of us, brothers and sisters in Christ here at RCC, our RCC family, who now get the privilege to grow together as whole life disciples of Christ. Second word to describe whole life disciples from this passage, worshipers, worshipers. If you keep reading in verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You know that term? Living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. That's an oxymoron, is it not? Remember those oxymorons that we learned in school? Jumbo shrimp, remember that? Freezer burn, those kind of, you know what I mean? Like the almost exactly. The terms that where you put two words together, supposedly opposite words, and they create new meaning together. Unbiased opinion, you know, stuff that maybe doesn't exist. And similarly, I think living sacrifice is an oxymoron. Seemingly contradicting terms, forming a new concept entirely. Sacrifice in the Bible meant death. Animal sacrifices of the Old Testament. No animal survived an animal sacrifice. And of course, Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice for sin through his death on the cross. And the fact that Paul now calls us to be living sacrifices as our true and proper worship is a brand new idea. It's a brand new idea. It is a call, I believe, to bring our whole lives before God as an act of worship. Not just a ritual performed at the temple. Not just coming to church on a Sunday. But our whole lives as worship unto God. In other words, this is a call to whole life discipleship, is it not? And I do love the Message paraphrase sometimes, and it captures this verse so well. Here's what Eugene Peterson says in this paraphrase. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That's wonderful. One of the books that were behind our discipleship model is Imagine Church by Neil Hudson, and this is where we borrow the term whole life disciples. Here's a quote from Neil Hudson. It says, whole life discipleship intends to mean what it says. There is no area of a Christian's life that Jesus does not have ownership of, and there is no part of their life that he does not want to use for his glory. Put simply, it is a call to see the whole of the people of God live out their whole lives, the whole of their lives under the lordship of Christ for the sake of the wholeness of God's mission for the whole world. It's a mouthful. I think you get the concept of this whole life discipleship that Neil Hudson is preaching and we are trying to implement and communicate to our church as we enter this new season. So, worshipers is the second word to describe whole life disciples. And finally, the third word to describe whole life disciples is the word transformees. Say that word. Ready? Transformees. Yeah. Verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Brothers and sisters, as much as I would like to say God calls us to be transformers, we are called in this passage not to be transformers, but to be transformees. The command here is to be transformed. Of course, that should also cause us to be agents of transformation in others. But in this verse, we are to be transformed. So we are called to be transformees. And how? How are we to be transformed? It says, by the renewing of your mind. Through the word of God that is to be preached and taught in our learning spaces as a church gathered. But also through the community spaces that we will provide as a church gathered where we get to learn from one another and from the community that God has blessed us with. By the renewing of our minds in the word and in community is how we become transformees. But not just as a church gathered. Verse 1 already established that we are to bring our whole lives as living sacrifices unto God. Your everyday, ordinary life, sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. This is the realm of transformation in our lives. Not just when we are here at church, not just in our C groups and our Bible studies and our youth groups. That's all good. And we will continue to do that, and we will try to do that even better as a church gathered. But the realm of our whole lives is where God calls us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, it's a call to whole life discipleship. The word disciple literally means to learn, a learner, a follower. And we don't just get discipled by Christ in this building or in our small groups or in our youth groups. The call in Romans 12 is to be transformed as we live out our whole lives as the church is scattered all through the week in our jobs, in our schools, in our neighborhoods. The church gathered is important for our discipleship, but the church scattered is just as important in our discipleship. Amen? Let me say that again. The church gathered is important for our discipleship, but I argue the church scattered is just as important for our discipleship. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Our real lived out lives is the realm in which we are to be discipled by Christ. So, let us be discipled in our offices, in our relationships with our coworkers, in our homes for sure, in our schools, in the friends that we hang out with. May we not just be evangelists, but let us be transformed to be disciples of Christ in that realm as well. Neil Hudson, another quote, he says helpfully, the fundamental role of church leaders is not to be the principal carers, nor the principal missionaries, nor the events manager for the local church. The fundamental role of the church gathered is to ensure that the community is a disciple-making one, a church that will help her members grow in maturity and mission. Making whole-life missionary disciples is the core vocation of the church. I think this is a very helpful description of the relationship between the church gathered and the church scattered in this paradigm of whole-life discipleship. And then going back to verse 2 of our passage, the promise for us as whole-life disciples, as members of God's family, as worshipers who offer our whole lives as living sacrifices to God, as transformees who are changed by his word and his community, the promise is this: then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I take that as a promise not just for me as an individual, but especially in our season of transition as a church. Then, RCC, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want to claim that promise for our church as well. So let me go back to the question that I asked before. What can RCC do better than any other church in the world? Kind of a weird question, right? But I heard that question in a class I took at Trinity. It's called Leadership for Today's Church, and it's not meant to promote competition or comparison, not at all. It's the question that should drive your church's mission and strategy, your church's specific. So what is one thing, what is the thing that RCC can do better than any other church in the world? I have some thoughts on that, but before I get there, here are some church trends that I learned from this class that was very impactful. I took it about 5 years ago. So 5 years ago, they said 10 years ago that the church was this, but now it's something else. So let me phrase it like this. 15 years ago, church trends in America. 15 years ago, people preferred large worship gatherings in large facilities. Today, people prefer smaller worship gatherings in smaller church facilities. Millennials are not attracted to big anymore, but they long for small and intimate, authentic connections. Even the larger churches now are trending towards smaller multi-site churches and more non-traditional worship times to accompany them. 15 years ago, the first priority staff hired after senior pastor was the worship pastor, or a paid worship leader. Today, the first priority staff person to be hired after senior pastor, children's ministry director. The shift is largely influenced by the large millennial generation and their children who are looking for a church that is safe, sanitary, educational, and fun for their children. Can anyone say an amen to that? Yeah, it's most of you. It's RCC. Another trend in America, churches in America, 15 years ago, there was marginal importance of groups. Today, there is vital importance of groups. Healthy churches today make groups, small groups, community groups, home groups, life groups, a high, high priority. Another trend in churches in America over several decades is ethnic diversity. Ethnic diversity. There's a great book, I won't show it here, but there's a quote by Mark Branson and Juan Martinez, Churches, Cultures, and Leadership. That's the title of the book, Churches, Cultures, and Leadership. It says, ethnic diversity is evident in the media, at shopping malls, and in our schools. Such diversity is less evident in our churches, but it is growing. We believe that neither a church's location, nor its makeup or networks is accidental or incidental, but that a church needs to engage in person, in prayer, and in imagination with the people around the context of that church. In light of these and other trends in the church that, by the way, I think apply directly to RCC, I was looking over the notes for my class and I couldn't believe, point by point, that RCC is in these trends, and RCC was founded because of many of these trends 12 years ago. And not even factoring at this point the seismic shifts that have taken place the last 2 years, right, because of this pandemic. Here's the question again. What can RCC do better than any other church in the world? I'd encourage you to actually think about that question for a while. Here's my preliminary answer. Want to hear my preliminary answer? I'm a new guy around here. So this is my preliminary answer. I believe RCC is a welcoming, inviting, loving community that invites people into the family of God better than any other church in the world. This is what I and my family felt the very first Sunday we walked into this space 2 years ago. This is what I hear from 100% of our visitors that either end up staying here or just visit for one time and go somewhere else. Our church is uniquely gifted, the best in the world, actually, at welcoming, inviting, loving people into the family of God. Can I get an amen? Yeah? Some of you with me? I know you newcomers, 100% of you tell me that when I talk to you. And this is only my thought, but assuming for the moment that this is true, the natural follow-up question is this: then what are we as a church actually inviting people into here to do? What are we actually inviting people into RCC to do? Are we inviting people into a place of growth and a steady progress towards spiritual maturity? And the impetus behind this discipleship model is to foster in our church an environment of growth, not just for when we gather, because that's a paradigm from 50 years ago, that this is the church when we gather. We are now living missional lives, and that's why this church was founded, so that we can, as Jeannie prayed for Naperville today, so that we can be salt and light to the places, to the cities that God has placed our families, and to the city, Naperville, for which God has placed our church. And we hope, as elders and leaders of this church, that this discipleship model will guide us this decade to foster growth in all of our members as whole life disciples of Christ. We're already brainstorming ideas of implementation as we approach our quarter three vision meeting in a few weeks. Let me just share a couple of things that we're thinking. A fall C group curriculum as we relaunch our C groups in the fall based on whole life discipleship, where we get to share our stories of our fruitfulness on the front lines as you work, as you teach, as you study. We'll introduce Sunday morning worship components to help us together celebrate not just the missionaries that we support and the heroes of faith that we usually talk about from up here, but you as you live out your lives for Christ at the dentist office, at the classrooms you teach in, at the hospitals you serve at, in the offices, yes, 9-to-5 jobs too, where you work, that we can celebrate the small fruitfulnesses that God is producing in our lives that is causing growth in you and in those around you. The vision team also wants to introduce one-degree changes, which is part of this paradigm, one-degree changes that will affect our culture as a church, where we can affect our elders and their health as we try to continue to serve our church to the best of our ability, the deacon body, to the worship team members, to all the group leaders, to ensure that all of our church leaders are on the path to growth, not just service, but growth as whole life disciples of Christ. So, I said quite a lot here, but I believe RCC is one of the most welcoming churches I have ever walked into. There's something about this community that gives you a big hug when you walk through those doors, you know that? And it is our welcoming ministry that is like a well-oiled machine, but it is more than that too. It's all of you that just gives people big hugs when they come through these doors. And combine this with all the resources that God has blessed us with, the amazing people in this room, the myriad of vocation, skills, giftings that are represented right here, plentiful resources, a heart to serve and love our communities. And I believe we can lovingly bring in and intentionally produce missional whole life disciples that will impact our communities and our world better than any other church in the world. So final question, will you join us on this journey as we enter into a journey of whole life discipleship as Restoration Community Church? Amen? Let's pray together. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Thank you so much for this time to be together, celebrate, sit under your word, and to dream a little bit. Yeah, Lord, you know how much I kind of struggled with this sermon. And Lord, may what I have said, as I have prayed all through this week, accurately reflect your heart for me, your heart for everyone in this room, surely your heart and your dreams for this church, Restoration Community Church, the family of God, the worshipers of God who are called to give out put our whole lives on the altar of God as living sacrifices, who are called to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we would then go forth and be agents of transformation in this community, in the people that are in our lives and in our networks, but also for us to be transformed in that process. Lord, help us to live as whole life disciples, putting everything on the altar for your kingdom and for your glory. We thank you for this time. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.